Your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is your Friday edition of the Locked On NHL podcast. Joe DiBiase from Locked On Sabres, Rachel Donner from Locked On Flyers. If you're watching us on YouTube, yes, I am in a different space. I'm not at home for today's show. I'm in the radio studio doing this. I've got my own microphone here, though, so a little bit more of a professional setup. But I'm excited to do the show today. And Rachel, we've got our top 10.
I know. So exciting. We've been building to this for a few weeks now, and it's always good to talk about guys who are obviously the elite in the league.
Yep. Yes. And this is best of the best. And this will be the final episode, obviously, of our top 50 list. We'll count down 10 through 1. The best players in the National Hockey League is voted on by the Locked On NHL local experts. And then after this, like, we're ramping up to the season. Preseason's a couple weeks away. Teams are reporting to training camps a few days before that. And what's the regular season? Like a month away now? Just over a month away? It's just like a month and a week,
just
maybe.
Just over a month away.
Yep. So, yeah, let's jump right into the list on today's show. We are at number 10 on our Locked On NHL top 50 list, according to the local experts. And number 10 on our list on today's show, from the Boston Bruins, winger David Pastrnak, 7 seasons in the NHL. Last year in 48 games played, 20 goals, 28 assists. For exactly a point a game, even strength points, 34 points, but definitely some production scoring on the wing of the power play as well. One of the better wingers in the league, and, I mean, diamond in the rough, kind of, for Boston, because they found him at the end of the first round in that 2015 draft class that we always think about for the top, like McDavid and Eichel, but Pastrnak's been, like, almost that good, if not even better than Eichel, since that draft.
Yeah, I think so. And he's just been such a mainstay on this Boston Bruins team. I always joke that of the teams that I especially hate, the Boston Bruins being one of them, there's always one guy that I like that I want on my team, and it's David Pastrnak. Like, hands down, he's the guy I want.
He's also got one of the top 10 nicknames in the NHL, I'd have to think, with Pasta.
It's true.
There's not a ton of great nicknames in the NHL, so maybe the bar is not that high, but... great goal scorer. I mean, he's got speed. I'm interested to see what he'll look like when he's not on that. He's really been on the same line his whole career with Patrice Bergeron and Brad Marchand. We saw news yesterday, Bergeron saying, I don't really know what's going to happen after this year. So the real test will be on Pastrnak once Bergeron leaves, and that could be as soon as next season. But all indications are he's just a flat-out elite player regardless of who he's playing with.
Absolutely. And, you know, he had 15 points in 11 games in the playoffs. And that was just a really remarkable achievement considering, you know, the Bruins had a moderate playoffs this past year, but he was definitely a standout.
Yep. Number 9 on our list for top 10 players in the NHL is defenseman Cale Makar of the Colorado Avalanche. One of my favorite players to watch in the league, Rachel.
Oh, absolutely. He is just as advertised and, you know, going straight from Calder contention to Norris contention. And he is everything that people say he is. And he was tied for 10th overall for power play points of skaters overall, not just defensemen, skaters overall with 22. So that, like, he's just everywhere all the time and doing things that I just can't even imagine other players that young doing.
Yeah, he is. I think he's the best skating defenseman in the league. He almost looks like violent when he's skating and like stick handling with the puck. Like, it's so dynamic side to side that very few players in the league really possess that like horizontal speed that Makar does. I think McDavid is like the next player I think of for it. McKinnon as well. Like, Makar's got elite skating and elite stick handling, and for him to be doing it on the blue line, I think that's why really he's my favorite defenseman to watch in hockey, and an elite one in that. Like, he'll be in the Norris conversation this year. He was a finalist last year. Maybe he wins it if he doesn't miss games, but he's a mainstay on that team. Number 8 is a former Norris winner and an elite defenseman in his own right for years now. Victor Hedman of the Tampa Bay Lightning. You're going to have a couple of Tampa Bay Lightning players here in the top 10. Their number one defenseman. He is 8th overall on our ranking here. Some of his analytic numbers, like his possession metrics, his scoring chances, both on the offensive end and the defensive end, kind of regressed a little bit last season. But even a down year for Hedman was an incredible season by league standards.
Yeah, I had him outside of the top 10, and it was for that reason, that defensively, he just really was not great during the regular season this past year. And he was able to kick it back into gear for the playoffs and got his footing back, I think. But, you know, offensively, he was fine during the regular season, but just defensively, he had a lot of problems. So I just couldn't justify having him in the top 10 for this year.
Yeah, I wondered about, like, could this be him starting to kind of fade a little bit? He's 30 years old. Some elite defensemen you've seen take a bit of a step back, like Shea Weber comes to mind for me. But because Hedman doesn't really rely on foot speed all that much, and he's such a big body that you just can't take off the puck, and he's so consistent with his passing, that even though he had a down year last year in his own end, I would think he's still going to be playing at a top level for many years still.
I'm curious to see how much this torn meniscus injury lingers for him, because I think under normal circumstances, you might be right with a decline, but with this kind of injury, it could just be a one-off situation or it could nag him for a long time. And that just remains to be seen.
Oh, great. You know what's going to happen? Tampa's going to put him on long-term IR. He's going to have surgery like a week before the season, and magically, poof, he's going to be ready for game one of the playoffs. It's utterly ridiculous. That's actually something we've thought about here in Buffalo. Like, could they trade Jack Eichel to Tampa Bay? They put him on IR for the entire season, and he just plays the playoffs for him. Lightning did that last year with Kucherov, obviously, if you weren't with it on that. All right, so Hedman at number 8. Before we get to number 7 in our list, I said before I'm not a betting man, but I will admit that I made a not crazy big bet, but a sizable bet on who's going to win the Vezina Trophy this season. And I did that over at betonline.ag, the number one spot for all your hockey bets, but also pro college football action for the season. You get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL survivor contest, open now at betonline.ag. It's your fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports, football, basketball, boxing. You can even get your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait. Take advantage of all the great offers they have available for you in the 2021 season. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Remember to use the promo code LOCKEDON.
Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's dog's login for all the good stuff. I want to tell you about a simpler way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before. So you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and TV shows all in one place. No more juggling remotes, no need to buy another device. And the best part, there is no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter, the confusion, get your TV watching together with DirecTV. So you can learn more at directtv.com. Compatible device required, content varies by package.
Joe DiBiase and Rachel Donner here on the Locked On NHL podcast. If you're listening on Spotify or Odyssey or on Apple Podcasts, be sure to check out our YouTube channel, Locked On NHL, where you can now watch the podcast. Also follow us on Twitter. Rachel is at rmiriam, R-M-I-R-I-A-M on Twitter, and I am at Sneaky Joe Sports. Let's continue on with our list. Top 10 players in the NHL, according to Locked On NHL experts. Number 7. Back to Tampa. Nikita Kucherov is number 7 on this list. I believe he is. No, he's not. I should hesitate to say that. I'll say it with the next guy. But Kucherov, I mean, he's put up video game stats at times in his NHL career. And he's at least in the debate if he wouldn't even be your top person as the best winger in hockey.
this was such a confusing season to rank Kucherov because, again, like you mentioned when we were talking about Hedman, he missed the whole regular season and just came back for the playoffs. So in the playoffs, 23 games played, 8 goals, 24 assists for 32 points. That's pretty great. You know, 3 points in his first game and then 9 total over the first 4 games. He was just on a tear. So he was his old self when he came back for the playoffs. And, you know, obviously everybody steps it up a notch for the playoffs anyway. But still, like, Kucherov is obviously an elite level talent and belongs in the top 10. I had him at 9 just because I kind of wanted to ding him a little bit for missing the whole regular season.
Yeah, he was my top forward, but he was lower. I actually had him at 10. I had a lot of centers and a lot of defensemen really rounding out my top 10. But I did have Kucherov as my top forward, or top winger, excuse me, over the guy that we're going to get to next, and over a couple of other guys as well. But yeah, tough season to rank him because I'd like to get a full season out of him before I just believe that he's the 100-plus point player that he really has been the last 3 regular seasons that he's played, including that one I mentioned, video game stats, 2018-19, 128 points in 82 games is, for especially this era of hockey, just absolutely bonkers. And the fact that he has the capability to put up stats like that and put up production like that, I think he's just a well-rounded offensive player. He's not going to wow you with his speed, but all of his offensive instincts in his hockey IQ in the offensive zone is just on par. It's one of the best in the league. He's got the shot. He's got the hands. I think he's really just a great player. And I can't wait to just hopefully see him in the Olympics next year for Team Russia.
Oh yeah, that'll be great.
Yeah, he'll be on that team. He'll make that team if that needs to be said. Number 6 on our list, who's also a winger and will also be on that Russian team. The number one winger on our list is Artemi Panarin of the New York Rangers, left winger, 6th year in the NHL. He comes in at number 6, coming off a season in 42 games with 17 goals and 41 assists. Just an incredible year offensively. The Rangers haven't really seen the team success I think they would have hoped when they gave Panarin that $10+ million a year contract. But this is 3 teams now with different line mates, different teammates, different environments where Panarin just keeps looking like one of the best wingers in hockey.
He really is. He was 2nd overall in the league in points per 60 minutes played in all situations at 4.22. And he just had a really weird season. There was, you know, that controversy that forced him to take a leave of absence for a little bit. And then his season ended really oddly, or maybe not so oddly, if this is what you think of Tom Wilson, when he got slammed to the ice there. And so he wound up only having 42 games played total. And yet he managed to be a dominant force, clearly was the team leader for the Rangers here. And I think, like, given sort of a more regular circumstances, and now that the Rangers have supposedly planned their team all around defending Panarin against Tom Wilson, I'm very curious to see how this season plays out for him.
I really hope they crash and burn this year, by the way. I hate the strategy they've taken.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just come on. Like, it's 2021. You're going to try to fight Tom Wilson. That's how you think you're going to get better. I'm not saying you got to get pushed around by him, but come on, you've got talent all over the place. Like, you buy into that, and instead they're going out and they're trading for Carson Soucy, who's like got more fighting majors in his career than he's got points. I'm not impressed with the direction of the team, but Panarin is so good, and really regardless of who he's played with, again, he's really showed up. Number 5 on our list, actually just underwent surgery. Could have dropped this in the news, I guess, at the beginning of the show. But if you didn't hear, Sidney Crosby's going to miss 6 weeks after having wrist surgery. The Penguins kind of expertly, seemingly, dropped that in, little news dump, as there was good news in Pittsburgh with TJ Watt of the Steelers returning to the field.
That's a Ron Hextall special there.
The expertly timed news drop, news dump there. Oh yeah, Philadelphia. I'm like, yeah, of course you would know that more than anybody.
Yeah.
So Crosby comes in at number 5. I've had I don't even want to say a love-hate relationship, but I've had an interesting relationship with Sidney Crosby. I don't really know why this has been the case to a T, but I've always hated Crosby. Like, growing up, I always hated Crosby, and I don't know what it was. Like, when, like, that 2012 series against the Philadelphia Flyers, that I'm sure you're going to agree with this. For some reason, I'm just like, I couldn't get enough of Philly in that series. Like, chanting Crosby sucks, and like, just the, and just beating them in the first round. Something in me has always rooted against him. But now that I'm an adult, and now that I can separate the emotion from the actual, you know, logistics of how good these players are, I mean, I almost feel bad that I hated him growing up, because he was such a good player. He was dominant, and I'm not sure I really appreciated how good a player he was as a hardcore hockey fan when I was growing up, because I just got swept up in really just not liking him for whatever it was. But at this point in his career, which is really what the list is more about, still top five. I did not have him as one of my top three centermen, but I didn't have him too far behind that. He was in my top 10. And I can't wait to hear what you have to say, being locked on Flyers.
Listen, I had him exactly at five, where he wound up on the list. So I'm feeling pretty good about that, that I was able to be objective relative to the rest of the list. I think he did have a really terrible reputation when he was younger. He was a whiner. Like, he just really was. And the skill has always been there, but he's has a very quiet personality. And he was a bit of a whiner on the ice, which I absolutely think he grew out of. And I don't think a lot of fans allowed him to grow out of that. And yeah. So that reputation kind of stuck with him. Now, as somebody who attended game six of that 2012 series and watched that Claude Giroux shift in person, that was one of the most glorious moments of my hockey viewing life. But, you know, even given the rivalry and given all that, I feel like, you know, obviously the Crosby-Ovechkin comparison will continue for all of time. And Crosby, I think, has maintained a higher level of skill across the board in terms of all the different things that he has done well and continues to do well. He is on a decline, but not so much in the way that Ovechkin has become a lot more specialized this late in his career. And so that's why I think Crosby deserves to be up here where he is that he's maintained that high level of performance across all of the things that he does best.
Right. That 2012 series, by the way, I just looked it up while you were talking. For some reason, that always stood out as one of my favorite playoff series of all time, because you had fights, you had brawls.
It was a mess. The whole thing was a mess.
You had 56 goals scored in total in six games. You averaged almost 10 goals a game in that series.
The Flyers played like four goaltenders or something that whole series. It was madness.
That sounds about right, because 2011, the last time the Sabres played in the playoffs, yes, it was 10 years ago. I think the Flyers ended up playing four goalies in that series as well, and they ended up winning. The Flyers rotating goaltenders. Should I take a shot here at them, or should I be nice here? We'll move on.
We can talk about Leon Draisaitl.
Yes, let's do that. Leon Draisaitl comes in at number four of the Edmonton Oilers. He was the only, I had two. He was further out of the top 10 among anybody else that ended up on the list for me. I had him down at 15. Maybe I look too much at the environment around these players and kind of the help that they're getting. But when I look at Leon Draisaitl, I wonder, would he put up the same type of production if he did not play so much with Sidney Crosby Connor McDavid on the power play, playing so much with him on the wing? Because really, he's only been a part-time center in his Oilers career. He's gone back and forth a lot with McDavid and then gone to that line too. I think he's a great player, don't get me wrong. But I don't know if he was on another team. I'm not sure he would put up the same type of production.
You know, I don't know either, but I do think that there's a certain amount of ability that he has to kind of overcome that shadow and be an elite player on his own. I mean, he was the leading scorer in the league the year before. And right. I think that he does stand on his own in a way that maybe on some other teams, there's more of a codependent relationship going on there. And I think it's interesting, if you look at the top 10 ranking overall that our Locked On NHL friends put together here, the top four were the only four that averaged under 10 in the average ranking. So it was very clear across the board that Draisaitl belonged in the top five, really, if not the top 10. And there was no consensus really amongst anybody else on our list.
That's right. All right, but before his teammates coming soon, don't worry about that. But before we get to the top three on our list for the top three players in the National Hockey League, according to the Locked On NHL experts, quick word for rockauto.com. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more on the same parts from a chain store or a car dealership? For example, a Honda Odyssey fuel pump is $353 from a chain store, $216 from Rock Auto. It's a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Prices are reliably low for every customer. They got everything you need from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even a new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website to find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
If you've listened to me over on Locked On Flyers, you know I love talking about Built Bars. I'm a big hiker, and these are a perfect treat to carry along with me. Built Bars are a soft protein bar, but they taste just like a candy bar, and they have 18 amazing flavors to choose from, something for everyone, no matter what your tastes are. Some of my personal favorites are the raspberry, cherry barcia, salted caramel, mint brownie, and cookies and cream. And I love how if you can't decide, they'll put together a variety pack for you with two of each flavor. But the best part is that they're healthy. Built Bar is great if you're looking to lose or maintain weight while you're having that delicious treat. I don't know how they do it, but they're an amazing combination of being low calorie and low sugar, but also high protein and high fiber. If you're on a special diet like keto, these will fit right in. So go to built.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com.
Joe DiBiase, Rachel Donner on the Locked On NHL podcast. We are at number three on our top 50 list. Auston Matthews of the Toronto Maple Leafs, 41 goals in 52 games last season, the best goals per game rate in the National Hockey League. He has definitely established himself as maybe if not the best, I mean, he's right there second or third as the best goal scorers in the National Hockey League. I mean, some of his maybe reputation is dampened a little bit because the Leafs just really haven't found any playoff success. But otherwise, I had him number three. I had him number three. I think he's one of the elite centers of the sport and one of the best players in the sport. And I think the best goal scorer in the sport.
Yeah, I had him at number two on my list. But I really think two and three could have been either way. I really don't think there's a huge difference when you look at the pros and cons of each of them. But a couple of interesting things about Auston Matthews is that he is much more of a shot blocker than the other top guys. He had 47 blocked shots this past season, which is like not something that your other top three, four guys are going to do in their regular gameplay. And he had the lowest of the top three in percent of offensive zone starts at 18.8%. So starting a little bit behind the other two in terms of zone starts, and he's a shot blocker. So his style of play, I think, lends itself to a more well-rounded game. Mm-hmm. And yet he manages to produce all those points too. So that's why I give him the edge.
Great stats on that, because you don't think of him really as like this two-way player like that. Like he's never once would I think of him when I think of like Selke candidates. But if he's blocking shots like that and he's starting the defensive zone more than the other guys really in this tier, that's definitely something to keep note of. Number two on our list is Nathan MacKinnon of the Colorado Avalanche. Eighth NHL season. Interesting career path. Didn't start like an elite level producer in his first couple of years. It's more of like a 50-point player. And it's really what led to Colorado getting him on the team friendliest deal in hockey, making $6.5 million because of what his first couple of years were. And maybe it's a lesson to other players. Like don't sign the long-term deal right away. Go for that bridge deal and earn that extra capital if you have the ability to do so. Because MacKinnon has turned into, I think, I had him at number two. I think he's right there behind McDavid. He is such a good skater. He might be the fastest player in the league. McDavid might beat him on quickness, but MacKinnon gives all of it to you in terms of effort. And just reading, I was trying to find it, but I can't find it. There was a story about McKinnon from one of his teammates about how much of a crazy person he is, like before games and in practices. Like the guy behind the scenes almost sounds like he's got a lot of Michael Jordan vibes to him. Like he does not tolerate you showing up late to practice, and he's going 110% in practice, and he's getting competitive with guys like in the lunchroom. Like I'm starting to find out some stuff about Nathan McKinnon in terms of him being a competitor on and off the ice that are making me like him even more as a player.
Well, and he was much better this year in the playoffs than either of the other two in the top three in, you know, in points per 60. So yeah, he does the weird things off the ice, but he also delivers on the ice. Yes. And I think he absolutely belongs up here. Again, like I said, it was almost impossible for me to choose between Matthews and McKinnon for the two and three positions. And, you know, I think he does in some ways benefit from the Rantanen and Landeskog combo.
Yep.
In a way that maybe the other guys don't as much. Although I will say Matthews and Marner is a really dynamic pair as well. So it's, these guys are all just great. And I think that it's very clear that these are the two behind our top guy.
And our top guy, no surprise here. He was 1.1. His average rank was 1.1 on our vote, which means somebody did not have him number one. Somebody robbed Connor McDavid of being the consensus number one player on our list. I would love to know who did that and what team they cover. But Connor McDavid is number one on our list. Maybe I have some bias towards him, but I don't really think I do. I think he's really established himself as the best player in the world. I've been watching him since he was a junior player, driving down from Buffalo to Erie like 5-6 times a year to watch this kid play, because everybody was saying like, oh, there's this wonder kid playing down in Erie. You got to go see him. Me and a couple buddies would jump in the car. We'd go down to Erie, tickets not too expensive. And ever since then, I've been blown away with this guy's ability to stick handle and skate at the speed that he does. I think he's really a unicorn in that way. I think he's the best player in the world. I think he's maybe been the best player in the world since his second or third year. And to me, there might be a bigger gap between number one and number two than I think most.
Oh, I absolutely think there is. I mean, there's no question that he should have been number one on this list. I mean, 105 points in 56 games. Nobody was even close. And to get over 100 points in a shortened season like this, like nobody would have predicted that either. And yet when Connor McDavid does it, you're like, oh yeah, that's believable.
Right. Yeah, he's unbelievable. And yeah. 1.1 was his average rank. So we'll hunt down that person that did not vote him number one. All right. Well, that's going to do it, though, for the list, our top 50 list. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in throughout the last month or so as we've gone about this exercise. I think it's been really fun. And if you missed any of our previous episodes, be sure you can either do that on YouTube as well as the Odyssey, Spotify, or the Apple Podcasts app. Me and Rachel will talk to you next Friday. I'll be back with Mike DiStefano on Tuesday's edition of the show. Again, follow us on Twitter. I'm at Sneaky Joe Sports, and Rachel is at R Miriam. This has been the Locked On NHL Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.